I looked out at the sunset and the way the light was making a really warm glow, and then the shadows were cool. And I thought, oh God, I am so lucky. I am so lucky because no matter how bad things are, I've got this for my whole life. This is such a gift to be able to see through the eyes of an artist, you know, to be able to look at colors and feel inspired to do something with, you know.
One of the ways we clarify for ourselves where we're going is by sharing what we're learning and figuring out with others, by teaching. For most artists, this could feel like a distraction from their art, but for some, doing so becomes almost essential in figuring out their art and life. Join me today as we dive into the remarkable world of Susan Melrath. Firstly, she is an extraordinary artist, but secondly, she also holds that rare ability to teach how she does what she does in her art and life. Her straight-ahead clarity has not only helped me, but now thousands of others in her lead coaching role in the Art to Life's Creative Visionary Program. Susan can jumpstart just about anyone who is considering embarking upon the creative path. I think you just might find her story not only inspiring, but revelatory. She joins me from her studio in the small town of Oxford, Pennsylvania. Images of Susan's art, links, and enrollment information to the Creative Visionary Program can be found by going to arttolife.com and clicking on podcasts. Welcome to Art to Life, a podcast for the creatively curious. My name is Nicholas Wilton, and each week I'll help you rediscover not just the art of your life, but the art in your life. Join me as we explore that perfect blue at twilight, the wild frontiers of art making, and the extraordinary joy of finding your way as you go. Susan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Just really excited to dive into all what you're making and all what you're sharing.
My pleasure, Nick. It's always fun to talk to you.
You know, what initially got me, and we were talking about this a minute ago, what initially got me thinking about you was because I was thinking about how, and I share this, you know, like we have both known each other a long time. And initially you came and you were in one of my programs, but very quickly you started helping other people. And this is something that I've been doing, you know, making my art. And as I go, as I'm figuring it out, I share this with other people, and you're doing this in the context of Art to Life. And that's different, you know?
Yeah, I think we're both problem solvers. And if you see somebody struggling with something, you just want to help and you just want to explain it in a way they can understand, right?
Yeah, it kind of, for me, it, and I don't know if people believe this, but it makes it feel like it's more possible for me, selfishly, like, oh, well, clearly this is doable because look at, they figured it out just by me sharing this. It's like, yes, this is possible.
Absolutely. I mean, I think part of, I always want to be learning, and that's just something that's innate in my personality. But also, I think it comes from the fact that I started as an illustrator and I went to commercial art school. And when I decided I wanted to become a fine artist, I thought I surely missed all the stuff that I need to know, right? Because I didn't go to the right school. And so how do you have a practice? And how do you, what does that even mean? And how do I figure out what I want to paint and how to do it? And so I was constantly seeking information. And then of course, if somebody comes in along the way and has the same question, you want to share what you've learned. It's natural.
Yeah. In your life, is that one of the big things, like you didn't know that this was possible, that now are, like, were you thinking back then, like, what has been one of the biggest things that you didn't think was possible that now you know is?
Yeah, I think for so long I kicked myself, like, why did I pursue commercial art? Because I felt like it took me off my authentic path. I mean, clearly you're making art for a client, you know, on a deadline, and I felt no connection to it. And I thought that I had wasted years. But actually, I don't know about that anymore. There were lots of things I learned about just having a regular schedule, just, you know, work ethic sort of thing that still works for me. And, you know, I'm I think if you have a thirst for knowledge, you're going to learn because you're going to pursue answers.
Yeah, no, completely. And I struggled a lot with this thing of how can I, make a living and make something that I love and also satisfy the requirements. And sometimes I could, but it was hard. It takes a lot of energy to figure that out for each project. So I remember that. That was really, really hard. And I think some people pull it off, It's like I think of some of the more commercial photographers that are also fine artists, and they're just celebrities, maybe are their what they focus on, and there's so many commercial applications. But really it is this question of what feels good for you. And that is a big question, and it can lead to all kinds of changes. So I know your story a little bit, but share with everyone kind of what happened to you. I kind of came into your life, when we first met, you were going through a big, scary transition.
Right. And what I remember mostly about those days when I was, financially successful with commercial art was the emptiness, because I had flat files filled with art. I mean, clearly I was selling art, but I had nothing that I could hang on my walls with pride, so it didn't, I felt like, well, why am I doing that? I could be, bagging groceries and making money and then have time to paint.
Wow. So it was really it didn't work for you, this illustration, really, at all.
No, I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to, and the jobs that I was getting, they didn't allow a lot of space for that. So yeah. And I think, there were a lot of other things in my life happening at the same time. I had a son, I took time off to raise him. The internet exploded, and the way that we did business changed dramatically. So it was more and more sort of pushing me towards my own work and just staying in the studio and creating. But I couldn't figure out how other than just looking at what somebody else was doing and making that, how do I find what's in me as an artist? Like, I really didn't, I was a hand and a brush. You show me something, I'll paint it. It's fine. It's done. And, but what's inside me that may want to come out? And I just couldn't figure that out. And so when I reached out to you and we did a long mentorship back then, the questions that you were asking me, see, I thought it was all about the paint and the colors and whatever. It wasn't. It was about what was inside. And you were asking me questions that, like, what do you love? What's important to you? What really lights you up? Who are you anyway? And I honestly, it's embarrassing to say, but I hadn't asked myself those questions. I think we live our lives sort of following sometimes a path that's already been laid out for us, sort of, in a way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, who taught us how to do this, right? Like, I know what you mean. I feel like I was so late to the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally get it. And it's almost like you feel shame that you, like, oh my God, I remember... I mean, I was raised by two parents that were from England, and not that that means anything, but there's a certain kind of stiff upper lipness to the culture, or at least my parents and the generation, and communication wasn't something that was really done very well in my family, certainly not emotionally. And I remember, trying to have a relationship, with my girlfriend, and she would just say, well, how are you feeling about this? And I'd sit there, and I'd be like, I actually don't know. I have kind of like a cold feeling in my chest. I mean, I couldn't even access it. So I totally get that. But we're not taught, like, we need to be shown or taught, I think. And the bigger questions of, like, what do I want? What do I feel? What connects me to myself? Those take time to answer. But we don't come into this world knowing, I don't think. At least I didn't.
No, I don't think so. I think we come into this world and we're told, like, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do to survive, to be loved, to be, to be okay. And for everyone, it might be a little bit different. But, it's so crazy that all of this stuff comes up when you make art, when you're trying to make art, when you're trying to make something that's really authentic. And that, like, it's to me, it's so funny. I was having a bad day last week and I looked out at the sunset and the way the light was making a really warm glow and then the shadows were cool. And I thought, oh God, I am so lucky. I am so lucky because no matter how bad things are, I've got this for my whole life. This is such a gift to be able to see through the eyes of an artist, you know, to be able to look at colors and feel inspired to do something with, you know. So I feel like all along, the practice of making my work has informed my life. And it certainly did then when you were asking me these questions that made me realize, oh my God, not only is my art stuck, but I'm stuck. Like, I'm still living in a life that's not really real or authentic for me.
Yeah, that, you know, I'm putting together a couple things as we're talking. And I'm just going to throw it out there because I think there's something here. When we make art, because it matters and we're you know, on those questions, answering those questions, and you're really trying to do something that is meaningful and there's vulnerability, and it does trigger hard things. It pings you. It brings up limiting beliefs around your self-worth and all this stuff, like the way your parents loved you or didn't love you or how you needed to be loved, all those patterns, all that stuff comes up. But here's what's crazy is, you know where it also comes up? It also comes up in relationship. I mean, intimate, close relationships, because the same kind of thing exists with people.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah.
It's crazy. And so it's just anything that we really set about to care for. And our art is just like, it is such an intimate relationship. It is bound. It's hard. Like, it is easier to just mail it in and check out maybe and not think about it. But once you do, and of course it's worth it, but I agree with you that, you know, we're developing the come from place, which is an artistic place that you get to look out your window. And it's not just like, oh, my windows are dirty or there's the view I always see. You're actually emotionally connecting with what you see. And thank goodness. And you get to have this forever. I mean, that's what we're cultivating. Yes, we're making art, but it's this come from place that I think is such a gift.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And so when you changed, you know, when you woke up a little bit or started to wake up, you said your life was, give us a little quick hit on what it looked like and what happened, because it's kind of amazing.
Yeah. It's kind of embarrassing. I mean, what you said about when you're in a relationship, yeah, that's a relationship can be a great inspiration, or it can be sort of the expectations that another person has of you can, you know, feel constraining a little bit. And I had just been playing this role, you know, I was playing the role of wife and mother, and my husband and I were so different, and I was trying to fit in, like, not consciously, but just like, I just knew what was okay and what wasn't really okay. And I would totally rebel in little ways, but they weren't really significant, you know.
You would sweep angrily.
No, I would like paint the walls. I would paint the walls in these crazy colors and things like that, because that felt like it was in my, you know, realm. But, you know, it was sort of slow, a slow process, but little by little, I would question, like, well, why am I wearing this? I don't really like these clothes. You know, I want to get a little wild, you know, and I went out and I bought all this like tie-dye stuff and like this Indian clothing and things. And I remember, you know, the reaction was a little judgmental, you know, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like, okay, I am reclaiming little bits of me. And it may seem small and insignificant, like the tattoo on my arm. You know, that was a big deal for my ex-husband because, you know, It's like, couldn't you just get a little one that nobody can see? No, I had to go from my wrist to my shoulder, you know? And it, was like, I know that seems superficial, but it was something, there was something meaningful in it. It was like, no, I am going to live my life. And I think part of it too, Nick, is that as we get older, you know, the days ahead are just a number are smaller than the days behind us. And you start to realize, like, really, what are you going to do with your life? Is it going to be just fitting into other people's expectations, or are you going to be you?
Yeah, that's, I mean, the whole thing was reevaluated and shifted and changed. And what happened to your art?
Well, it was so hard. I remember you talking to me about letting go, quote unquote. Like, what is that? And I would do things that I thought looked like I was letting go, as opposed to actually letting go. I know this is...
Oh, that's so funny. Hard. Yeah, that's so right. It's like we're... It's like, this is what it would look like if I was letting go. And I...
Yeah. But I mean, I think you have to kind of go through those stages.
Sure. Fake it till you make it kind
of approach. Right. But on the day, and I still remember the painting, on the day that I really did, and what we're talking about is making something that you're kind of getting attached to, or it seems to be kind of working, the willingness to destroy it, to just completely destroy it and be in the moment, that was such a liberating feeling, but also like I had this, I don't know, it's this sensation of, you know, it's just a little anxiety, maybe. I don't know. But then I did it and it was like, oh, I let go. That was it. I let go of that whole thing because it wasn't working for me and it felt great. And see, that's how that practice started to inform my life, you know?
Of course. Yeah. And, you know, when you were describing your life and, you know, you knew what you said, I knew what I was supposed to do. But the extra five words of that are according to everyone around me, you know, which is, you know, it's tiring and it's actually hard to pull that off, to be a stand-in for other people long term. You know, I think we all get tired at some point and just want to be ourselves, you know? So the art shifts and the look of it changed, of course, because you were just, what kind of came out? Like, what was the answer? What did you want to paint? Or was it just the feeling, a new kind of feeling of making that you were after?
Yeah, it was the feeling. I think it was the practice of being able to just be present with the work. I mean, an illustrator has to provide sketches, ideas, rough sketches, then tight sketches, then, I mean, you pretty much know what it's going to look like before you start, right? That was my experience with making art. So what does it look like to just dive in and let things happen? I didn't know. I didn't know what that felt like. So that was what I was learning how to just be present with the work and respond to it. That was huge. And it informed my life because when I made big changes in my life, I did not know where they were going to take me. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have it all figured out. It was scary as hell. And somehow, paint can be scary as hell. I don't even know. I mean, it sounds crazy to somebody who's not an artist, but if you're an artist, you know that it can be frightening, you know, to...
Totally.
Yeah, to let go of something that's sort of kind of working and...
You know, certainty is pretty awesome, but it's not... It doesn't make great art, you know, sometimes.
Right.
So that's a fascinating idea. And it's something that I've seen, you know, and I've seen this. I kind of got it a little bit with my own work, but I've seen it in teaching other people that really, if you take the focus off what they're trying to make, I mean, people come, I want to make this thing better. I want to know how to make these things that I can post on Instagram, like amazing. But it's like, well, wait a second, you know, let's work on this thinking part. Let's get you amazing. You know, the way you're thinking and the spaciousness you have and the willingness to try things and risk. When you get that going, then, I mean, I don't know what's going to come out, but it's going to be different. It's going to be personal. and it's going to be really, really strong. And that's what happened to you. Can you describe like what your work started to look like?
Well, I was under the impression that I had to throw everything out. Like everything's got to go. Anything that I used to do, and I had been painting figuratively. So I figures, landscapes, that sort of thing. I threw it all out. I just decided I can't do this, learn this practice of presence and call and response and all of that, and have to deal with those things. So my work became completely non-objective, and I was just moving paint around and also trying to understand what it means to make a composition and what are the shapes that are really truly my own and my, you know, what the hell am I doing with, you know, like what, how do I speak this language? I did not know. And so, you know, I spent years, right, working on that and trying to figure out what is my vocabulary? What do I care about if you take away the subject matter, you know?
Yeah. And that is a huge question. It's so common that people ask, like how, I mean, you used to say this, like, yeah, there's no good shapes left, you know, like, can you describe like how does somebody do that? And then can you describe what your shapes feel like to you? Because I think it's definitely a feel thing. It's not like they're not anything specific, but there's a feeling to them. Have you thought about it that way?
You know, I don't think about this a lot because it just makes me nuts. I don't want to be one of those artists who says, I'm not going to talk about my work. I'm going to leave it up to viewers to decide everything. I feel like that's a little bit of a cop out. But on the other hand, I don't always know right at the moment, but I know a few things. I know that I like a sort of a graphic boldness in my work. I know I like some hard edges, but also, you know, a lot of just letting the paint do its thing. So I like a combination, but I like structure. I like a structure. And so some of the shapes, I mean, really, it was an inquiry and it didn't happen overnight. I kept a sketchbook. I kept noticing what I was noticing, sort of, you know, what is it that I'm
that's
drawn
a good,
to?
That's a good idea. You know, like I'm going to write that down, you know, notice what you're noticing, because you're noticing it because your soul or whatever, there's some inner knowing that you're, yeah.
Right. But stepping outside of yourself and noticing what you're noticing, that is not something we're taught to do. That's why we don't know what we like, because we never thought right. about it before, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I played with some shapes that I had discovered and, you know, sort of blew them up and tried to like imagine, like say you have a circle. Well, how many ways can you paint that circle? Can you, you know, maybe it's big and bold, maybe it's a pattern, maybe it's a line, maybe it's, it was just a matter of trying to figure things out that way.
Yeah. So is that how you share this with students of yours?
Yeah, they have the same questions that I had. And I think I made a little video that we share with some of our students about, you know, how to find your visual vocabulary, because I remember struggling with that and feeling like you had taken all the shapes.
Right.
So yeah, it's about noticing. It's about sketching. It's about, you know, playing. It's a lot of playing. But
yeah,
the best thing that has happened to me through teaching with the Creative Visionary Program is that every time I have to answer a question or help someone, I get to really understand it at a deeper level because I have to explain it. Just, I was telling you earlier about this physicist who had to constantly do lectures and explain physics to people who didn't understand. And he developed this way of learning where you have to be able to explain it to a 12-year-old. If you can't explain it in a way that a 12-year-old can understand it, then you have some gaps in your understanding, right? And so,
wow.
So you, wherever you're starting to sound a little ambiguous, go back and see if you can understand it better. And so through that process, I realized I didn't need to throw out the representational elements. I didn't need to do that. I can still paint authentically, and I can still, you know, be present, and I can work with figures or landscapes. And partly that came about because students were saying, I'm trying to understand this, but I want to paint landscapes and it's not making sense for me. And I had to be able to explain how, you know, value, design, color, all these things sort of work, even when you have a semi-plan. And that brought me back to my work, to the representational work that I'm doing now, which I'm loving completely.
Do you ever feel like, you know, we have good patches and bad patches? That's how we kind of describe our life. You said, you know, I was having a hard day or a hard decade, or I was going in the wrong direction and I threw my arms up and then I, you know, got in a truck and I drove across the country and moved some. But maybe it's just perfect how this has worked out, you know, and I love the, you know, that idea that progress is always about coming home. It's always about coming back. And I just see that, like, you've stepped into this kind of work that is what you were doing, what you were drawn to probably early on with illustration, but it's so informed. It's coming, the come from place is completely different now. I mean, it's kind of amazing, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. And I agree. I don't think there are wrong turns. I think that, you know, the journey is exactly what it should be. And I like that too, because when things are a little sticky, you can kind of feel like that's exactly where I'm supposed to be right now. This is, you know, part of the learning.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you think about realism or painting from life, and then you hold sort of an abstract idea,
totally,
and then you hold a realistic idea, and you, what's changed by bringing realism into the work for you? Like, is that as important in your work as the design, or, you know, how is it, this new customer just arrived, this new guest, what's going on now? How do you think about it?
Well, to be totally honest with you, realism is so much easier for me. And it's easier because I'm not like walking around trying in the dark, trying to grab like what shape, what am I using to say what I want to say? What do I even want to say? There's something about, if I see something, maybe it's a barn or a structure or whatever, and the shadows and the graphic sort of shapes, I know I'm responding to that. And it's a structure that I can play with then. Then I have total freedom to do whatever I want with it. It's like I can reinvent this in whatever way I want. And I like it, it's just easier for me.
Yeah, like you know, you bring the goalposts in closer and there's actually more freedom in that. It's right? Yeah,
right.
I totally agree with that.
So I learned this in landscaping because I had a tiny little backyard that had a little rock wall and then a hill that went straight up. And I used to look at it and think, oh my God, how can I landscape? How can I make this look good? It's actually way more interesting to have those boundaries and limitations than if you had an acre, you know, flat acre yard. What are you going to do with that? I mean, I had all kinds of unique ideas that I could do with a small space. And so maybe it's something like that, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, when you have a problem that's pretty clear, the solution, there's lots of things that won't work, you know, and so it narrows it down. I think that's a really great advice or piece of wisdom for people to narrow it down somewhat. To not forever, but just to choose a focus a little bit that feels good, and then just let that process go for a while and see what comes out, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's how it is for me. It feels like I'm cheating a little bit, but this is feeling really good for me right now.
You know, when you said it feels easy, sometimes that's what I tell people, like, maybe it's supposed to feel easy and good.
Right.
Like, wow, really?
Imagine.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be crucifying, you know? But
right.
I think the big win, and it's just so lovely to see you in this, is right now and where you are, is that to see someone who's really enjoying and liking what they're making. I mean, forget about sales, forget about anything. It's just so confirming, right? Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I know firsthand because I was making work that was selling and being published and I wasn't connected to it. And that feels shitty.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. You talk about, well, we, you know, our days are numbered. I mean, they're always been numbered, but I never feel, I don't know if this is for you, but like yesterday I had an hour, literally. I only had an hour and I spent it. I got in the studio and I just quickly changed my clothes and I painted for an hour. And it was just, it's like, it's this, the practice becomes like this. I feel like it's a Disneyland ride that you just like, quick, pay your money and hop on this thing and you'll get to go on this wild journey. And maybe the ride is only an hour, but it really transports you. I mean, my day was so much richer because of that. Do you think of your art practice in that way?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not about producing. It's not about that. It's about the experience. And I know if it's been too long, if things have gotten in the way, there's this sort of cloud following me. It's like, no, that's what's wrong. And it becomes harder to drop into that space the longer you're away from it.
Absolutely. It's just the less you do, the less you do kind of thing. But how do you coach people through that?
Oh, boy. Well, we've been doing this for how many years now?
Pretty solidly. The Creative Visionary Program's been going for 6 or 7 years. So you were there from day one. And yeah, it's been pretty steady.
Yeah, I think we're a lot better at it now because we have that experience and we've heard all those questions and watched all the people struggling with the same thing. So it's kind of built into the content now. We spend the first 3 weeks talking about this, about what is your inspiration, helping people to dig that up and helping people to, you know, carve out space in their life for these little, you know,
yeah,
times in a studio or at a kitchen table, either way.
What I'm always interested in doing, and it sort of falls outside of the programs, it's something that I struggled with a lot. And it was what you were saying, kind of when I'm away from it for a while, or then I can feel when I'm not able to go on that Disneyland ride, there's resistance, or I'm not even that focused. I'm sort of, and I think it's important and super helpful to let people know that they can get back, but give them a way to come back quicker, sooner, you know, and I think both of us share this idea, like, just do any old thing, just, you know, do something. The kitchen table art project that, you know, you participated in, we did for people during COVID, was just that, like, just get in motion, just something that, it's just like, spend time noticing what you notice. I mean, to use your words, I think that's just it in a way.
Yeah. Sometimes if I've been out of the studio a while and I come back and I look at the strangers that are hanging on the wall and I think, oh God, where was I? What am I doing? I just will open up a good sketchbook and start there. And, you know, there's nothing better than a sketchbook that's got some really heavy watercolor paper in it. And you can, it feels like there's no pressure. It just feels easy to do anything. And pretty soon you're in it in no time. You find yourself in that space and it's easy then to keep going.
I often have said this, you know, and I'll say it again. I sort of fantasized about, specifically about this podcast that, yeah, like people will kind of be making their art and they'll be just have this on in the background. You know, like,
yeah.
I want people to just like, this is a cool thing to add to your, like, if you're making art right now, just to, these ideas that you're kind of marinating. But I do really well learning things while I'm doing other things, you know, but it's just getting in motion with this practice. I mean, it's a practice, you know, of a mode, a way of thinking, a way of, it's really like a way of being.
I think the idea of a sketchbook or something small where you're just playing, like, people think, and I used to think as an illustrator, I thought playing was, you know, really just a luxury I couldn't afford. I had to be productive and make things that are successful. Every piece had to be successful. But that time that we spend just playing and moving paint around, that's an artist's form of research. That's how we discover things, you know, and it is important and it will get you back to the right state of mind.
So right now, what's hard for you right now? Like, what's going on that's hard and, you know, life interrupts? Or that's what surprises me, that you think you're getting this together and then new challenges arise. And I'm just curious, from the outside, you're just in a good patch, but I know that's just from the outside.
In my studio right now, the only thing is time, just finding the time to make the work. So, you know, my answer to that is work small for a little while and just keep at it, just sort of keep chipping away at it every chance I can. I think that your advice was don't not go into the studio because you don't have a block of 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
If you have a half an hour, do it. And that keeps me going. But there's really, no, everything's wonderful. I have things I want to paint. I have a gallery now that's selling my work. And
which gallery, by the way?
Art and Light. They're in Greenville, South Carolina.
Awesome. And we'll put
really
a link
good
to
people.
That.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be working with them. And so, you know, everything's going well. I have family things that are.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. but you know, yeah. That too will pass.
Yeah. And so you're painting realistically, sort of. What happens to me is I do one thing and then I think, oh my God, this is like a whole thing. This is a whole series. Like, have you hit on something that you're thinking, oh, I want to do 10 like this? Or what is the things that are coming for you that you're excited about?
You know what happens to me? And I don't know what this, maybe it's my personality, but I start something and I'll be, you know, having success with it. For example, maybe it's structures, buildings, something like that. And then I'll want it to go and do flowers. And then I'll want to do people. And then, but it's always inspired by what I see. It's, you know, maybe it's the way that three people are standing together, huddled in the space around them. I can't quite put a finger on it, but I just know what interests me. And I can get bored with things. So
yeah.
I'm not limiting myself right now. I don't know what's coming exactly. I follow that curiosity and that's how I'm living.
Is there there's a familial, there's a homeness, a relationship quality to your work, right? Like those things that you, I mean, you moved back to a small town. I mean,
yeah.
this is part of from Seattle, you moved back. And I know that's important, but your work kind of has that feeling to me a little bit. Do you think about it like that? Just like these are the flowers that were on my kitchen table and, you know, like it's that feeling is all in it.
I guess so. Yeah. I guess so. I mean, who was it? Fairfield Porter was another artist who just painted what was around him. I mean, this is my life. What else am I going to paint? I tried for a little bit to paint my dreams because I have a dream journal that's
yes.
30 years old, you know, filled with like fantastical stories. And I haven't figured that out yet. I have not figured out. I've been able to do a couple of paintings that were pretty good.
That rabbit one was next level.
Yeah. The rabbit.
I'll include this. We're going to put some work of yours on the Art to Life website on this episode so that people can go and look at it. But that the rabbit one was really great. But yeah, the dog. Yeah, that's cool. I'm doing this thing right now where when I wake up, I just talk and I record it and I transcribe it. And I'm learning. I mean, it's the cheapest damn therapy available, but I'm actually learning stuff. I'm saying things and I'm realizing it's kind of like this conversation. There's just stuff that you learn in conversation. And I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, but no one's there. But I think there's an inner knowing we have maybe that someone's at the helm. I don't know.
Yeah, there is a whole, you know, there's a whole piece of our subconscious, our subconscious is just deep, deep inner space where there's knowledge, but it's different. It's different from our ego, I guess. I don't know. All I know is the stories in my dream journal are amazing. I just don't quite know how to paint them. You know, I've talked to other artists, and one person will say, well, just focus on the feeling. And it's like, okay, but that's not quite doing it for me. Like the feeling is mushy. I don't think I do well with just a feeling. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. There's such a practicality to, I mean, that's so, you know, you've been so helpful for me. I have a feeling about color, and I use it. I've used it all my life. But you've really taught me about the practicality and the understanding of it. It's interesting. You know, it's like I relate to color emotionally, and you've provided me with like the structure in a way, you know?
Right. And partly that's because students want to know, like, what is warm? What is cool? What is saturation? And, you know, in order to really answer those questions, I had to go do some digging and learn that. And not only learn it, but be able to demonstrate it.
Which
now, you know, just feels so, so great, because let's say I have a barn I'm painting, and I might just say, okay, well, I want to just play with yellow. This whole painting is going to be yellow. How can I use saturation? How can I use value? How can I use, you know, temperature and make a monochromatic painting? I mean, for me, that's exciting. Like that just feels really exciting to me.
Yeah. Well, listen, so kind of in wrapping this up, I'm just, I don't know, like if you could climb onto a mountaintop and yell one thing right now at the world, you know, what might you kind of say? I mean, just right now, like what would that be? Just curious.
Good grief, Nick. I guess just be you.
I love that.
Two little words, but it could be a long journey to get there.
That is a beautiful ending to this and such a great takeaway. Susan, thank you so much for being here today. It's a privilege to work with you and to witness what you're showing and teaching all of us.
That's mine as well. Thanks, Nick.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Art to Life show. If you enjoyed the podcast, please help me get the word out by sharing it with your friends on Instagram at @art_to_life_world. The recording of this and all episodes, along with a place to leave comments, see additional photos, and discover a whole new approach to making art, can be found by going to arttolifepodcast.com. And secondly, if you could leave a rating and review in whatever app you're listening on today, I would super, super appreciate it. It makes a big difference. And last but not least, before you go, if you'd like to be on my artist list, every Sunday morning I send out a video blog all about art making. Go to arttolifepodcast.com to sign up. And all these links are in the show notes, of course. Thanks so much for being here, and we'll see you next week.